the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go. Doesn't feel like that kind of day, though, does it? My goodness. That was the one they couldn't have. I know you hate the phrase must win. And so, sure, we can do mathematics. We can do this, that, or the other is still alive. That was something they could ill afford. And we'll put it out to y'all right away because there's not much that's going to get in the way of you talking to us today other than Kyle Shanahan, which we think is going to be in about an hour and 15 minutes. And Kyle Shanahan will, he'll have his feet held to the fire, and he'll be held accountable, and then we'll move on, and we'll keep talking to you. But I just, to me, I think today is an open invitation for you to speak to your frustration. So 888-957-9570, put a name on it, define it. What is your frustration with the San Francisco 49ers? Because, Dibs, for me, that's the word I keep hearing. Even when they're winning, like even when he hit Jennings on that little play-action fake in the end zone, they take the lead. Yeah. Like, I think they're going to win. Everything is always exhausting, and everything is frustrating. It's a very frustrating team to watch.
Right, and it would be less frustrating if they were 7-3. And if they'd won the earlier two games that they should have won, and then last night or yesterday they just kicked that one away, you'd be a little less frustrated. You still would be looking at it and saying, boy, there are some red flags. Something doesn't seem right. And I was listing it off in our show thread earlier because, for me, you can look at almost every level and every position and see fault. The offensive line is a problem.
Yep.
And, you know, Trent, I think, was the only one of the five to not have a penalty. No, Dominic Pooney didn't have a penalty either, but there was back-to-back plays where McGlinchey false started, then McGlinchey gave up a sack, and Brendel...
McKivitz.
Sorry. Well, I mean, it's kind of the same guy, unfortunately.
I don't know. Denver's playing pretty well, but anyway,
right,
go ahead.
But you look at the pass rush, and, you know, Nick Sorensen, Mr. I'm going to rush four, if I hear the play-by-play announcer Joe Davis say one more time, Niners bring four.
But
they bring four every time, and they don't get home.
But you're not mad. Actually, but they do. When Nick was out there, like, their defense was fine.
Right, but they don't do anything different. They rush four. Well, and then Nick goes out of the game, and they rush four. And, you know, Fred Warner kind of having a little bit of a quiet stretch to his season. He's not making the same amount of impactful plays as he was earlier in the year.
I got to think
when he was DPOY candidate.
I got to think offensive coordinators are just singling him out and going, let's go away. Wherever Fred's going, hey, quarterback, wherever Fred is, just go the other way.
Like, but in, like, you know, run fits and whatnot. Yeah, and I thought the secondary yesterday was, they were fine, but they play 7 yards off. It's a pitch and catch all day long. They don't ever, defensively, they don't ever take a chance. They don't ever try to make a play. It's, we're going to rush four. We're going to play a little soft on the coverage. And I could run through the play-by-play and show you, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
He's a great player.
He's especially good when you don't have to, like, really work to get open.
And Yadam is not, by the way. Like, even when, because we've been frustrated, he doesn't get on the field much, and when he does, something bad usually happens. And I know he got the pick yesterday, and it was one of those picks where it's like, what the hell are you doing back there? Who was my guy who won Super Bowl MVP? Was his name Larry Smith or something for
Larry
the Steelers?
Brown.
Larry Brown, thank you. Larry Brown had two interceptions in the Super Bowl, and the then Oakland Raiders made him a very highly paid defensive back in the following offseason because, ooh, he was fancy and he was a Super Bowl MVP. You know what he was? Out of position. Like, if a quarterback airmails everybody and you intercept it, that's not a great play. You just happen to be Johnny on the spot. and you know, go to the last one of those last drives where Geno Smith looped it right over his head to DK Metcalf, taking chances that he shouldn't take. He just, look, their secondary, I get it. Charvarius Ward is going through hell. So they're a man down and two men down. Green left for a short time yesterday. I understand it, but their depth has been challenged and has not answered the call all year long. That is one of many things that we can point to here. But it's just killing everybody because you look at this, and in addition to not getting the results you want, I think every fan is sort of challenged to figure out why. I can tell you, like the people I watch the games with, they just ask me all day long, wait a minute. This is the same people. I know you're down a man here, you're down a man there. It's the same coach, it's the same system, same quarterback, same running back now. You got the same tight end, the same receivers, the same pass rusher, the same linebacker. What the hell happened? Why does it look so different? How can you go from number one in separation to number 29
yep.
overnight? How does that happen?
Two things. One, adjustments. Yep. And the other one is that's not the same team. And if you talk about how many games they played this year with Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey, and Kittle, the answer is zero. And so you're asking Ricky Pearsall, a rookie, who is making strides. What was this, his fourth game, I think, yesterday?
I struggle
two
with that,
targets
though,
and no catches.
Yeah,
and
but
Debo Samuel, he does not look to me to be as spry, physical, and quick as he used to be, and yet you watch him on these jet sweeps, and they see it coming.
Exactly.
Kyle's playbook is predictable, and the players that he's looking to execute these plays, they're not getting it done.
Christian McCaffrey, you know, it was 4.2 yards per carry, but, like, McCaffrey has not looked himself, and so I don't think it's that. I don't think it's that Debo is suddenly old and slow. I don't think Christian is still hurt. There isn't any space. This is an adjustment that Kyle Shanahan needs to make. I'm not a play caller. So I don't know, but I know that he's made adjustments before. You don't sit in the league for 25 years doing something that works and never have to make adjustments. That's not football, that's not life. You got to keep staying ahead of the curve, but I really kind of I've finally reached a point. And Mike Holmgren came on this show like 8 weeks ago
yep.
and he's like it's just injuries. Today, I stand up to disagree. It's not. It's not. Because 5 years ago, they went to the Super Bowl, and none of these guys were on the team.
And none of those guys, for the most part, were as good as these guys.
Right. So, like, this system has always worked, and you could sub people in and out. Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, whatever the hell you want in the backfield.
Jordan Mason, hello.
Sure.
And there's a guy who, by the way, does look like himself, and yet he gets two carries.
Well, I mean, we don't know if he looks like himself or did he just have two nice carries. But
well,
I'm
he had two nice carries,
yeah,
and then he didn't get a chance to touch the ball again.
I'm with you that it would be nice to yes, rotate people in more and more. But the larger point remains, where did the space go? That, to me, is the whole key to everything we're looking at. You can pick an individual and get mad. Oh, Brock's now not worth money. And Debo is old. And the offensive linemen stink. And keep going.
You're doing great.
Whatever. And George Kittle's not there. We can do this all day long. George Kittle and Debo Samuel were not in a game against the Rams where Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings flew up and down the field without any problem at all. And Ronnie Bell and a drop and all those things.
Juwan doesn't seem to be the problem.
He's
right now.
Not the problem. That's my point. It's not the personnel. Like, yes, mistakes get made, but I don't think roster construction is suddenly a problem or injuries are the only thing to blame because they've dealt with that all the time through the last 6 years, and they almost always win, unless the quarterback gets knocked out. They almost always win. Now suddenly we don't win. Suddenly guys are slow. This has to be much more schematic to me.
No doubt.
Than it is about personnel or legs suddenly being gone.
Well, and look at the scheme yesterday. And you know I love to talk about personnel groupings, and they love to do a lot of 21, two running backs and one tight end. Well, that one tight end is Eric Saubert, who is not necessarily a big pass-catching threat. And a lot of times when they went to that yesterday, they would have Juszczyk up there as the de facto second tight end, and he got some targets as well. But beyond that, I thought that everything that they did was pretty predictable, where you'd have McCaffrey as the lone back, and a lot of times he was just getting the handoff. And if you watch the offensive line, they were not creating that second line of scrimmage. So they're blocking at the point of attack, and when you run the ball, you want to be able to get to the linebackers with your O-line, and they just weren't yesterday, yep. Which is why McCaffrey didn't have any explosive runs. He was fighting for three and fighting for four, and then the offensive line penalties. And I can look at almost every single drive and highlight, a false start here. There was a hold. One of them was Juwan Jennings on the on the jet sweep, third and one.
I think the only one that wasn't an offensive lineman.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got Banks and Brendel, and you've got
McKivitz.
McGlinchey had a couple, too. McGlinchey, I'm going to throw him in there for old time's sake. But the penalties and just the lack of discipline. And, you know, Brock did miss on a couple of critical throws.
Well, the decision on the interception was terrible, but I also, you know, you look at it, it's like, well, there's no space. I mean, half the balls that Juwan caught, you're like, well, that wasn't a very good decision, but he jammed it in there somehow. They're just, people aren't open. And I refuse to believe that that's because the 49ers suddenly aren't fast. Like, remember Baldy earlier this year? They look slow. I don't think they are slow. If you lined them up and ran a race with the 49ers, you'd lose.
I would, for sure.
Yeah, no, but you get what I'm saying.
Like, I do.
I still think they're, like, when Debo hits open field in Seattle and Brock throws it over everyone's head, what happens? He didn't get caught from behind. They can run. They're just something in the structure of this whole thing. The rest of the league has figured out the counterpoint, and now it's time for a new counterpoint. And we haven't seen it yet,
no.
At least not consistently.
Well, and yesterday was a big disappointment on that front, and I look forward to Grandy's grades today. I actually glanced at him on Instagram or Twitter. The station sent him out, and I looked, and he was pretty harsh in some areas, and I thought that he was spot on in those. And, you know, I look at that game from a play-calling standpoint, and I'm kind of the mind of Greg Cosell. You don't really know what the play call is or what's going on in their mind, but I look at an offense, Mark, that, like you're saying, you're not blocking very well. You're not getting separation. You're not getting explosive plays. And it looks very, very ordinary to me. The word I used on the thread earlier was bland.
Well, I would...
Bland. And not George Blanda, the great Raider quarterback and kicker. Just bland.
I'm almost tempted to use the other B word.
Why you gotta say it like short?
It's really, really offensive, too.
You better be careful.
Bland?
No, not that B word.
Oh. Well, I mean, what are we doing here?
Boring.
Oh.
That's not letters. As boring as
I thought Jake. We're going to the five-letter variety.
What are we doing here?
Not as boring as Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. But yeah, dude, where's the juice, man?
I was happy that my Netflix crashed.
I mean,
that thing freeze or are they both frozen?
No, well, I saw all of them. Both.
Thank you.
Both.
I was so happy that you watched it.
Did you? I'm so mad that I watched it. I don't usually get very mad at my lovely Christy, but this one is on her. And it's on the Warriors for being up by too many.
Good point.
Especially if you're only going to win by five. Just keep it at five, and that way I can be like, we're not changing to the stupid concocted the clam bake over on Netflix.
I was proud of my tweet about other Tyson Paul fights that I was I would rather see. Chris Paul versus Tyson Beckford. Cecily Tyson against RuPaul. I had a little list. People jumped in.
I'd be up for all of those.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
So speak to your frustration. 888-957-9570. Speak to it. Speak to it. Kyle's going to speak to it in an hour. You speak to it first.
Stand on it.
Stand on what you do. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All right, here we go. Your turn, Willard and Dibs.
Under 20. Smith back to throw. Smith takes off. Geno Smith. Seattle with 12 seconds. Geno Smith again puts the Seahawks on his back. And Seattle's got the lead.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I never, ever, ever. I am anti getting on people because of their celebrations. I'm anti. Like,
okay, I feel like there's a big butt coming.
No, I just know. I know that that bothered a lot of us to see Geno Smith do the night. There's a big butt here. That probably annoyed a lot of people. I mean, the guy's 1-6 against the 49ers.
Right.
I'm like, man, do you have any idea what it's like to score a touchdown with 12 seconds left to go in front of 60,000 people?
Yeah.
And it, like, no, you don't. Right? You know, and millions more watching on TV. Like, let it rip, man. Let it rip. He can have his moment. But it's not fun to watch if you're a Bay Area sports fan. That's for sure.
And I know we're going to go to the phones, and I can't wait to hear from everyone. And, you know, the anger, the sea was angry. But I don't look at what the defense did in that last drive and say, oh, it's the defense, because they did their job in the previous drive. And yeah, Geno went down the field in 2 minutes and 38 seconds with one timeout, 80 yards to his house, and that's uncomfortable. But the damage was done before that by the offense.
Well, of course,
to me.
Of course. Although I do think it too often, and I get it, it's sort of like a way to be entered into the conversation about a football game. But the whole, like, where do you put, like, who's
the blame? Right.
Like, it's 100 different things. Like, yeah, the defense played well for most of the game. And then in the end of the game, they played like crap. And Geno Smith, like, with second and long, is able to just run right down the middle of the field for a long first down.
Yeah, 17 yards.
Yeah, like, what? Like, that's bad defense, you know? Devondre Campbell had 4 weeks of good play that got thrown out with the trash because of those last two plays, because he was just trailing both of them, watching Geno Smith run right by him.
Did make a nice tackle on that drive on 2nd and 6.
Sure.
On Walker, which brought up the 3rd and 5, and I have in my notes, I didn't feel like writing the man's name over and over, Jackson Smith Njigba.
It's a lot of letters.
JSN. And JSN had an 8, a 7, and a 15, and an 8 on that drive.
Yeah. So
that's 4 catches for 38, Mark.
I tell you what, it was very, very frustrating. But sure, like, and to me, that's kind of what we're getting at. If you're like, well, the offense isn't scoring enough, and the defense isn't good at the end, and the special teams don't even get me started, and the lack of discipline, and also, why doesn't it look like, but well, if you've got 27 issues, I'm sorry, you kind of got to go to the top. It doesn't mean this is all Kyle's fault. But that's where I think the conversation should start. Like, can't I say Kyle's a great coach? Nobody should be talking job status. He's not doing a good job this year.
You can say that.
That's what I would say.
And you're probably right. And I would look at the defensive coordinator, and Guru's been really hot on this. Like, where's that same energy that we all had for Steve Wilks when people wanted him out? Nick Sorensen is not having a good year coordinating a defense, in my opinion. It's the same thing, rinse and repeat. You rush 4, you play 6 yards off receivers, and these quarterbacks are able to play pitch and catch. And I'm just going to add this before we go to the phones.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want to throw something at me, you can, but that was probably the best special teams game of the year.
Hang on. I'm going to get some of Steiny's graph paper.
Yeah. I'll say it again. That was, I think, ow, that really hurt. I think that was the best special teams game of the year.
Yeah, that didn't annoy me yesterday.
Which, other than
great.
The straight
what
up,
you, what,
the, muffin, the muffin swipe on the kickoff return.
So Jordan Mason muffs the kickoff, and actually it kind of worked out because he just shoveled it forwards out of bounds, like out of the 27-yard line.
Yep.
But then the punt by Pat O'Donnell, the Seahawks, at the very end, the Seahawks didn't send anyone back to return to catch the punt.
So you got
to
loop that
bounce
sucker
it at the
up.
15-yard
yes,
line.
Correct.
Bounce it at the he kicks
correct.
It all the way into the end zone.
Correct.
That was a 22-yard net for
absolutely
those of you scoring ridiculous at home. Yeah.
So I have a
but again,
thing.
Probably the best special teams.
They have points.
I mean, different mistakes mean different things.
Boy.
Like
yeah.
if a human being just drops a football, I'm not going to be like, coaching! Like, Jordan Mason dropped a football. Don't drop the football. That's not on the coaches. Do you know what I mean?
It's on the coaches, the fact that he's actually out there doing that.
That's a fair point.
And
sure,
he actually didn't drop it. He never actually...
He never caught it in the first place.
The ball hit him between the 2 and the 4. It hit him so hard that thing careened 15 yards forward, as Grandy's saying. Which,
I mean, that
turned out to be a good little return, though.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
Ow!
Good job.
Ow!
Maybe it was coaching.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, here's what we're going to do from now on. I want you to just have the thing bounce off your chest like you're a soccer player and then just kick it forward, and then we'll take it up there. So maybe. I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's hear from everybody, okay? Let's start with Jeff in Rhode Island. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling.
Hey, guys, how's it going? I'm gonna vent because I've been venting all day here, so I might as well vent on the West Coast, too.
Let's do it.
Kyle, I think you're right. It was a great analogy I heard when I was listening. It is like golf. It's something different all the time with this team. Where do we start? I mean, we have to start with Shanahan. And you guys are right. This offense is so stale. There's no space. Like, you eventually, they've been figured out. So you have to now counter that with something. And it looks so slow. Like you guys said, it goes, Christian doesn't look right. Debo doesn't. Besides Jennings, he's the only guy that shows you some life in that offense. And I'm like, it's not going to get any better. I mean, Green Bay, Buffalo. I mean, now we're probably going to get exposed even more on a national audience. And, I mean, it almost, I hate to say it, but is it a lost season?
It could be.
Yeah, we're not yet.
We're not there yet, Jeff.
No. Thanks, Jeff.
And the spread is stinky. That was a smelly spread.
Coming up?
Yeah.
Is it still at 1.5?
1.5.
Packers by 1.5?
Like, okay. See if we can grab our emotion, throw it out in the other room for a second.
Okay.
Okay? Make a case for me why the 49ers should only be 1.5-point underdogs this weekend at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. I guess the case would be that, CMC is getting healthier and getting better every week.
Okay.
And we'll put aside the Nick Bosa question, but...
Thank you. No, but let's not. Like, again,
yeah.
The scenario is what it is.
Fair.
Why on earth...
And what's the George Kittle status going into next week?
Don't know.
Okay.
I would imagine, like, he was limited practice guy. Like, that was a little bit of a mild surprise late Saturday night or Sunday morning whenever you got the news that George was not going to play. So I would imagine he plays, but yeah. I don't know.
I would expect the spread to eventually rest above a field goal, 3.5 or 4.
Oh, I'll bet you there's no way he's going to move that much, I wouldn't think. That'd be a lot of movement because it's settled. Like, it opened and then it settled.
Yeah.
That would be crazy movement for it to go all the way up another 2 points.
Depending on, especially if it goes past 3, which is the magic number. If Bosa is announced as out, I do think that you know, from just a neutral observation standpoint, that's a huge deal.
I agree, but don't you think most people are probably assuming that right now? I'm assuming Nick Bosa is not playing this weekend.
I am too. I wonder if the odds makers are making that same assumption.
Like, they're usually ahead of us.
I'm looking at it now on ESPN, and they have it at 2.
Okay.
So it might be nudging its way on up.
Maybe.
But, yeah, maybe it doesn't even get beyond 3, but that to me is a weird one.
I think it's the Niner tax.
Yeah,
and we're a stubborn group. I sent this out this morning. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I think this is wild. Vegas states, okay? Vegas still states, let me make sure I get all the teams. I want to remember all of them now. Vegas states that the Packers, the Steelers, the Texans, the Vikings, the Chargers, and the Commanders, all, as we sit here right now, still have longer odds to win the Super Bowl than the 49ers.
All those teams.
Longer odds.
Yeah.
The Steelers, who are 8-2 and just beat the Ravens, to sort of like really grab, they're grabbing the bull by the horns as far as the AFC North is concerned. At 8-2, longer odds. And they're in the AFC, which is tougher, but all of those teams, the Packers have longer odds than the 49ers to win the Super Bowl?
It's bananas, and I'm looking at FanDuel right now, which is the book that we use here on the show. Lions, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and Eagles are both 8-1, then there's a giant jump to the Niners. 17-1. Packers 19-1. Texans 20-1. Steelers 21-1.
I mean, I think the point that I take from that, which I am guilty of this throughout this year, most of us are, boy, we are stubborn with regard to our assessment of the 49ers. And come hell or high water, no matter what the record says, no matter what the division record is, all of these things, we refuse to believe that the 49ers aren't going to just wake up one of these days and be different.
Right.
I don't know, man. We're in the second half of the season, and I have not seen 1 week where they've looked fully awake. I thought week one was it, but I look differently on week one now looking back on it.
Of course.
Because the Jets are awful.
The Jets are terrible, and my fantasy team is suffering because of that. Thank you, Garrett Wilson, who cannot get targeted at all. I mean, the poor guy is just out there running around.
Aaron Rodgers does not complete passes in the first half.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
He waits for
halftime. Yes.
And then he just looks for his buddy Devontae here and there.
Yeah.
A little bit of Breece Hall. No Garrett.
Yeah, that thing, it must have been Robert Saleh's fault, you know, looking back. That guy somewhere is just grinning ear to ear with a pocket full of Jets money, just waiting for his next actual opportunity. But I do think that some of the Super Bowl odds reflect two things. One, the memory of Kyle Shanahan and what usually happens in November and December. They usually go on a run.
Yep.
And the other piece is the NFC West is still fairly wide open, pending Arizona continuing to play well. But the Niners at 5-5, it's not like they're three games out.
Well,
you know?
And here's the other thing that I think is actually difficult with regard to the NFC West. We've spent all year going, well, the NFC West is terrible. Now, all of a sudden, why don't you use a different sentence? The NFC West has no teams with a losing record.
Yeah.
Now, that says something different. There's no freebies in there, and the Niners have already checked box, lost to all of them.
Yeah, all three.
The Niners are not in good shape with regard to this whole, oh, they'll get it together and win the division. Like, it is not setting up in their favor at all.
No, they've played four of the six divisional games and they're 1-3. So even if we want to pretend that 10-7 gets it done to win the NFC West, if we play that game in our minds, well, it has to be the right 10-7, which means you have to beat Arizona, you have to beat the Rams.
For sure.
And, you know, whatever else happens.
You need some help elsewhere, too.
You do. But if you're going to win five of your last seven, those have to be two of the five without question.
And there has to be something that we've not seen yet, which is an impressive win. I'm telling you right
now. Buffalo, Green Bay.
Or Detroit.
Yep.
You don't win one of those, your season's it's over. It is over.
For sure.
That's eight losses. You're out. So they're going to have to do something they haven't been able to do yet. How about Robin Philly? Niners are so bad right now, though. The East Coast is pissed.
I think I know this Robin Philly. I'm hoping this is the Robin Philly I know.
Rob, what are you doing? Are you the Rob that Dibs knows?
I hope not.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
I tell you what, though. Those Super Bowl odds are so weird considering that we're plus 200 to go to the playoffs right now. I don't understand that at all. Everything feels like such a struggle because it's predictable, like you guys are saying. I should, as well as we might know our teams, I should not know what's coming from my couch. Not that I sit on the couch to stay in the whole game, but I shouldn't know what's coming, and I feel like I know what's coming every play. We can all see McCaffrey isn't healthy, like you guys said. He's still getting it, like, every play. And Jordan Mason comes in. He looks like he's shot out of a cannon. What is going on? And every time Brock Purdy scrambles and makes a crazy first down or that crazy touchdown, I can count on one hand this year how many times they showed a replay. And you could say, oh, maybe that guy was open. Nobody's open. This kid is making out-of-his-mind plays just to stack up a couple first downs. I'm glad he found the pylon yesterday. He deserves to get one in there running.
Rob, I think that's a great point. I don't necessarily share your thought that Christian McCaffrey looks unhealthy. I don't see that. Maybe he's working his way back, getting some of the cobwebs out. Rob, thanks very much. I would like to point this out with Brock Purdy. He didn't play great yesterday, and I've felt that way after most of the games this year. I also don't think there have been too many that were just total stink bombs. I don't think there have been too many of those either. Maybe one, maybe none. But the Purdy conversation, like, yes, the pass to Deebo Samuel that was way over his head, to me, was one of the more disappointing throws I've ever seen him make. That said, though, to me, the absolute theme of the day is space. They don't have any space. And the offensive line is not playing well. And that is going to constantly make a quarterback at minimum have his numbers go down. And Brock is still not turning the ball over a ton. Too much, but not a ton. But what are we watching Brock do? We're watching him force balls into small windows, and we're watching him run a lot.
A lot.
And he does that very well. So he deserves some credit for that, for kind of keeping the offense moving a little bit. But you're all right if your thought is for this particular offense, the way it's structured right now, these plays and this separation in this space, for that team to put up 30 points, Brock Purdy will need to be otherworldly. And he's not. He's not one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not Lamar Jackson. He would need to be for this offense to work, because there's no time and there's no space.
Right.
You need those things as a quarterback.
And this is where I'm thinking about Jerry Rice this morning on with the morning roast, Spadoni in for Butcher, and he's talking about you just got to throw it deep two or three times just to plant the seed that you can throw it deep, and sometimes you got to just stretch the field. And I watch all these plays, and I watch the game two and three times, and I don't see him having the time to go back seven-step drop and for them to send somebody all the way down the field and even take a shot right now, because the offensive line is not giving him enough time. The pocket is crumbling and collapsing, and you know, there's times Brock Purdy can stay in there and climb the pocket and make a play. There's other times when Brock Purdy can check it down, I think. I think he's seeing his checkdowns, and he doesn't want to check it down. He wants to hold on for a bigger play, and then he ends up running and scrambling when, you know, there are checkdowns that are available that he's just not taking.
There isn't enough time to throw the ball deep downfield.
Right, exactly.
There isn't enough time. Let's go to Rob in San Jose. Nice to have a Bay Area call for the first time all day today. Hi, Rob. What are you doing?
I'm just driving around, about to go to Safeway.
Nice.
Oh, good luck in there. We'll see you in the aisles.
Dibs, I think this comes down to is a replication sensation, meaning that you go down that roster, I don't think you're going to find a player who is going to replicate the numbers and best years that they've had on that team again. George Kittle's having a good year, but he's had better years than what he's had the last couple. McCaffrey, his best year by far is going to be last year with the Niners. We'll never replicate that. Debo will never have a better year than he's already had. I think on the defensive side, too, you looked at different players over there. Bosa may not have a better year than one that he's already had on that team, and he's one of the guys that's supposed to be the anchor on that team. I think you look around, they had a five-year window. They swung and missed in that five-year window, and now you are starting to see the league catch up and just an overall kind of decline of these players where they are not in their prime and probably going to have the best seasons that they've had in this system.
So I don't know how you feel about that, Dibs. Rob, thank you. It's an interesting call, but here would be my response to that. I want you to look around the league and look at teams who are playing well.
Okay.
Or you can even do it historically. Go back to last year. 49ers are playing well.
Yeah.
What do you notice? I would argue you almost never go, well, they're having a great year because that one individual right there is losing his mind and playing great.
You're so right.
That's not football. What happens is a team is playing well, and then everybody individually has their numbers go through the roof. What happened last year with the Niners? Christian, offensive player of the year. Brock, you're in the MVP conversation. All of these things happen. It's like the Lions right now.
I'm looking at their stats, and I'm so glad you said that.
Look at
the
Lions.
Got Jahmyr Gibbs has got 800 yards. He's going to go over 1,000 easy. David Montgomery's got almost 600.
He's going to go over 1,000 too, I would bet.
They have 18 touchdowns between the two of them. Two-headed monster.
I think they've had that team has had a rushing touchdown like
every hour.
No. Like an absurd number of games in a row. Like all the way through last year, the Lions have had at least one rushing touchdown in every game. But sorry, go ahead.
Amon-Ra is having a great year, and he's a number one. But Jamison Williams and Sam Laporta and, you know, Khalif Raymond and Tim Patrick, they're all chipping in. They're all contributing. And you mentioned last year, and we went through the target share from Ayuk and Kittle and Christian and Debo, and it was almost an even split, a four-way split. They shared the ball. They all played well. The offense had a multitude of weapons. This year, they don't have that due to injury, ineffectiveness, and something that you were saying earlier about teams making that adjustment and Kyle Shanahan's offense. And we've heard people talk about it being stale, and I said bland, and Lucas on our thread said boring. There hasn't been that next innovation, because I do think that the league has seen all the things that he's done so well, the pre-snap motion, the eye candy, the personnel switching, all the things that have made this offense go and be unique. teams are onto it.
Yep.
So now what's the next adjustment, Kyle? Well,
and it's surprising that there hasn't been more that we've been able to see. I don't think Kyle is just sitting there drinking Mai Tais all week like, no, we're good. No, I'm sure they're trying. But whatever,
possibly.
Yeah, whatever the adjustments are, they have not worked yet. But to me, that's through my eyes. Football doesn't work that way. It's kind of the other way around. And that's why, to me, injuries are not an excuse. The Lions lost their best defensive player. What are they doing? Still playing great defense.
They gave up 6 points this week.
Yeah, because, well, yes, and Jags are only sort of in the NFL, but you get what I'm saying.
Still.
Like, yes, they're still a cohesive unit. The 49ers last year would have been able to withstand an injury or two or three. I know there have been more this year, and maybe they've had more than their fair share. But if the team were reeling, if they were wheeling, man, if they were doing their thing and the play calling was all of those things, they'd be fine. They'd be fine. That game against the Rams at halftime, nobody was like, oh, my God, what do we do without all of our people? There were no people in there. No problem. Up and down the field, scoring, no problem. So I just, football is not about one or two people going off. It's about a system working great, and then everybody's numbers go through the roof because of it. You know who's going off this year? Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Super good numbers. 4-7.
Yeah.
4-7. So it's I just, when you go, oh, well, Bosa isn't doing it, and Brock isn't doing it. And, well, I don't. It's not on them to go out there and carry 22 people. That just I don't think that ever works.
No, and it has to be complementary football. And last year was a great example of that. And this year is a perfect example of when it doesn't work. And yesterday is a case study where the defense does its job. They get Seattle off the field. And then now it's the offense's turn to snuff out this game. Move the chains. And I'm just looking at the replay of the pass that you are fixated on, the 2nd and 11 play action to Debo, and yeah, there's no pass rusher within 5 yards of Brock.
No, he's wide open.
And he just kind of, not only did he sail it, but he just threw it way too high.
I was impressed that Debo even got a finger on it.
Which he probably shouldn't have.
Probably shouldn't have. Yeah, no joke. Yeah, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right.
So high!
Thank you. Speak to your frustrations, okay? What are they? Get them out. 888-957-9570. One of our callers has a point about Kyle Shanahan that I haven't heard yet that I'm very excited to hear. I'll tell you that. 888-957-9570. And Shanahan speaks in a little bit over a half hour. We'll carry it live right here on Willard and Dibbs.